This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. President Donald Trump signed a revised executive order on immigration this morning. His first immigration orders issued back in January ran into significant legal challenge, of course, but this time the rollout was quite different. Trump signed the order but made no statement. That was left to three members of his cabinet, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and Homeland Security Chief John Kelly.
Today's executive order, which President Trump signed this morning, will make America more secure and address long overdue concerns about the security of our immigration system. We must undertake a rigorous review and are undertaking a rigorous review of our immigration vetting programs to increase our confidence in the decisions we make relative to visitors and immigrants that travel to the United States. We cannot risk the prospect of malevolent actors using our immigration system to take American lives.
And once again, that was Secretary of Homeland Security John Kelly. WBUR's Shannon Dooling has been following developments with this new executive order, and she joins me now. Hi there, Shannon.
Hi, Meghna.
Now, overall, the intent of today's new executive order seems to be the same as what the president signed back in January, but there are some significant differences in key details. What are those differences?
Right. So, a few things. First, it removes Iraq from the list of predominantly Muslim countries whose citizens will not be allowed entry to the U.S. So still on the list are Syria, Libya, Yemen, Somalia, Iran, and Sudan. A second difference, this executive order does not apply to visa and green card holders or dual citizens from those countries. So those folks will be allowed entry. And you'll recall that this was at stake in the federal court case here in Boston, where green card holders had been held for extra questioning at Logan Airport. So that appears to have been addressed in this revised executive order. Syrian refugees will be treated just like other refugees, which is to say they'll be temporarily barred from entry into the U.S. for 120 days, but they're no longer barred indefinitely, which was the case in the previous executive order. And interestingly, this ban does not go into effect immediately, as did the previous order, which we'll recall led to most of the chaos and confusion at airports around the country. This order instead goes into effect on March 16th. So there's a lag there that allows people to sort of absorb what these changes are. And also, any refugees already formally scheduled for travel to the U.S. will be allowed to enter as well.
I see. So, Shannon, let's dig in a little deeper here, because those six countries that you mentioned, again, Syria, Libya, Yemen, Somalia, Iran, and Sudan, it seems the executive order goes into greater length to explain why those countries in particular. And the lack of that explanation was a major criticism of the January order. So what are the justifications that the new order gives?
Right. That's exactly right. So Attorney General Jeff Sessions addressed this a bit, saying that, you know, some of those six countries are listed as state sponsors of terrorism. So basically, this executive order ticks through each of those six countries and explains in greater detail why this decision has been made. So, for instance, Sudan and Iran have been designated state sponsors of terrorism. Somalia has been a safe haven for terrorists, according to the executive order. Libya is an active combat zone. So, as you said, really trying to really sell it here and be more thorough as to why it makes sense to, particularly with these six countries, ban further entry of arrivals until a vetting process is able to be reviewed.
Mm-hmm. So more explanation about why those six countries. Then there are the exceptions that you said a little earlier, including for green card holders, et cetera. So it seems as if many of the differences are designed to withstand legal challenge here. I mean, the January order contained language about religious affiliation, which, of course, is the thing that led many people to call it a Muslim ban. Does the new order include that?
No, it doesn't. But interestingly, it actually defends that previous language that prioritized so-called religious minorities. As you said, now many construed that section in particular to be a preference for Christian refugees seeking to flee persecution. But the new order does not outline any sort of preference for refugees of minority religions. So it's kind of odd in that it defends the previous wording saying this was legal, but it does not detail any new stipulations. So in some ways, it seems the administration is trying to address the Muslim ban charge of the previous order by excluding that.
Okay. Now, Shannon, a little earlier reminded us of the chaos that unfolded at airports in the wake of the original executive order back in January. What do immigrants or visa holders who are currently abroad but attempting to enter the United States, what might they be thinking this time around? I mean, could we see a replay of all that happened for example, right here, even at Logan Airport and other international airports across the country.
Right. Well, obviously, everyone's kind of wondering the same thing, asking that very question. And part of what will mitigate that chaos, according to lawyers and advocates, is the delay in the, this not going into effect until March 16th. So people have some time to kind of respond to this. Advocates, refugee resettlement agencies have some time to respond. Lawyers can counsel their clients. I spoke with Susan Church earlier today, and I know you'll be speaking with her later on in the program. She's the head of the New England chapter of the American Immigration Lawyers Association. And she said that they do have volunteer immigration lawyers on the ready to assist anyone who may be affected at Logan. But again, this doesn't go into effect until March 16th. So until then, Church says, really, time is of the essence. And just, you know, if you're trying to get to the United States on a visa, get here.
Mm. Now, Shannon, you've been following the story for quite some time, especially the effect on refugees. Have you heard any reactions from other folks in Massachusetts to this new executive order?
I have. I spoke earlier today with Jeff Thielman. He's the CEO of the International Institute of New England, which is a local refugee resettlement agency. He mentioned that, you know, he's concerned with many aspects of this. He doesn't think that this is any more necessary now than it was on January 27th. But he said one thing that I found interesting that he's concerned with is filling this employment gap. He says that he often receives employment requests for both skilled and entry-level positions around New England.
Employers rely on these folks right now. I mean, we've got employers calling us all the time in Greater Boston, in Lowell, and in Manchester, New Hampshire, looking for people to work in their companies.
So Thielman says he expects that employment pipeline to take a hit.
Okay. So how does this new executive order, or what effect does it have on the cases that are still currently pending that challenge the legality of the January order?
Mm-hmm. Well, under the new order, it states that the previous order is now revoked and replaced by this order that the president signed this morning. So that could render any affiliated court cases moot. So anything that was being challenged according to the previous executive order could essentially be moot. Again, this goes into effect on March 16th. It's the law until challenged in court again. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing that the ACLU is actually sort of leaving that option open in terms of bringing legal challenges.
Well, that's WBUR's Shannon Dooling. Shannon, thanks as always.
Thank you.